As the basis of our meditation this evening, let's turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angel spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, that is, that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh upon the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and let us kneel before him in prayer upon our knees. We have another blessed opportunity to be together here in God's house and know that we can have his word before us and be blessed by the meditation of the word and the reading of the word and having the Spirit to speak to us. And so we're just thankful for an opportunity like this that we do have. The Lord wants us to hear a message when we come to church. He wants us to absorb something and he wants us to take that with us. And each time we come to church, it's like that, that we would not come here in vain, simply hear a message and then say, yes, that was a good message, and then we go on our way and we forget what was said. But God wants us to have a message, to hear a message that would be given to each and every one of us. And it's often the case that when we do come into God's house and hear his word, that we are challenged in our faith to believe in him, to walk in a spiritual way, to love him more and more, to put aside all the evil that Satan entices us with, and to be a separated people for God, and to live according to his will in our lives. But tonight, my prayer is that we would simply just have a meditation on the greatness of God. The Bible that I have at home classifies this Bible as a meditation on the majesty of God. And sometimes we simply just need that message in our lives. Sometimes we're at that point where I know I need to separate myself and live for the Lord, but there are just sometimes when we just simply need to absorb what it is that, who it is that God, that we serve, who it is that we serve. The God of this universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the God who can do all things. And so we read of some of the things that God does, and it's very majestic, it's very powerful. And so tonight, let's read his word with that thought of having his majesty be glorified, and that we would come to that greater appreciation of the Lord and who he is, recognizing a little bit more how small we are and just how great our God is that we serve. We began this service by singing hymn 101, where it says, Holy God, we laud thy name. Lord, in praise we bow before thee. Earth doth now thy reign proclaim. And we read that this evening in Psalm 104, that the earth proclaims the reign of the Lord and doth for thy works adore thee. As thou wast, thou wilt remain, everlasting is thy reign. Great and small bring praise to thee. It speaks of small fish, and it speaks of big fish that in Psalm 104. Great and small bring praise to thee everywhere in thy creation. Thee the Father ceaselessly lauds thy holy congregations, honors on his lofty throne thine only begotten Son. And so let's consider this scripture this evening with the thought of the majesty of our God that we serve. It begins by saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Again, this is the God we serve, a God who is very great. The psalmist, when he wrote this, understood this, but perhaps he only can capture a small percentage of that greatness of the great Lord. And so he writes, O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. This is the garment of our God, honor and majesty. Majesty that belongs to him. Majesty as no king or no other person has ever experienced. That majesty, that level of majesty, belongs to our great God, who can do all things. And so let's take this first verse and consider that verse as we read these other verses here in this chapter, that we have a God that's clothed with majesty and who is very great. Thou coverest thyself with light as with a garment. This is our God, full of light. Light comes from him. We read in the scriptures that in heaven there's no more need for a sun. That's just for us. But in heaven, we don't have a need for a sun, because God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ will be that light in heaven above. And so it says here that he is covered with light as with a garment, and he stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind. This is the God we serve, who does all these things. In another book, Nahum, in the Old Testament, it speaks that the clouds are simply the dust of his feet. This is the majesty And this is the very greatness of our Lord, whom we serve, with whom we have to do. And we have to stand in awe of him. And we have to rejoice in him. And we have to magnify him. That is our response to the greatness of and the majesty of our God that we serve, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. What God does, no man can undo. No man can undo what God does. His greatness, man is only, after all these millennia, are only coming to understand the greatness of God's creation. And a thought comes to me also now as we speak of this is God's creation. We marvel at his creation, how great it is. But it's the Creator that we worship. A Creator who makes all these things who are so grand and so majestic. And it's him that we worship, not his creation, but we stand in awe of his creation. And we consider, as another psalmist writes, we consider his creation, the works of his hands. So he laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. There is no power that man can come up with that would remove the foundations of the earth. Thou coverest it with a deep, as with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. And so here we read of the time when God destroyed the earth with the flood. And even the tallest mountains were covered with water. It says that he covered with the deep, the water, as with a garment, the water stood above the mountains. That's how great our God is, that he was able to cover the whole earth with water, even the highest peaks, the highest mountains. And these next few verses here in the first part of the psalm speak of water and the power of water and of the creation of water. We know that water regulates the temperature of this earth. God does these great things. And though the water was covering the mountains, it says here, at thy rebuke they fled. The waters fled away from the mountains. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. The waters dissipated, and they dissipated quickly after the flood was ending, and it came to an end. When God's voice spoke, those waters receded, and those waters receded quickly off the mountains and came to their place where they needed to be. When the voice of God spoke, that's what happened. Another psalm speaks of the voice of God, and it says, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters, even as it was at that time. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It's full of majesty, the voice of the Lord, just as he is clothed in majesty. He is worthy. And so we see that these waters receded as they stood above the mountains, and then at the voice of his thunder, the waters hasted away. I read a scientific fact that the sun evaporates 1 trillion tons of water a day. Every day, the sun evaporates 1 trillion tons of water. That's a staggering amount of water. But that happens every day in the climate that we live in. This is, the waters were receding at a great rate when they receded off the mountains and the flood came to an end. This is the majesty. This is the power of the God that we serve. Nothing is too great for the God that we serve. They go up by mountains, speaking of waters, and they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. So now at this time, God said, I will no longer destroy the earth with water. He will with fire, but he will not destroy the earth any longer with water. And so now he placed a bound, and he says that the waters will not pass over that bound, and they will not turn again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. All the creation of God working together in harmony. God is supplying for them. He is supplying for them water. And water gives life. Water gives life to the plant life and to the animal life as well. He watereth the hills from his chamber. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. All the earth is satisfied. And we sang that this evening, that the earth gives praise to the Lord. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. So likewise are we. We're satisfied with the works of the Lord. We are made full. We are made content. We are made complete as we are satisfied in the works of the Lord. Because the works of the Lord are very, very great. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. All these things God is doing. God is doing all these things. Man can be absent, and God is still doing all these things. His greatness we will never know on this side of the grave. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. Another amazing fact of trees is that they, from their root system to their branches, they let off 70 gallons of water a day. From the ground into the atmosphere, 70 gallons per one large tree is placed into the atmosphere. God makes these things to happen. God put those veins in the tree trunks to take up that water and make it to go to where it needs to go. God is doing these great, great things. The birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. And so we see all these things happening. The birds, the stork, the herbs for the cattle, the wild goats, the conies, all these things work together. And we're remembered of that term in science of ecology, where animals and work with animals. It's a system that all works together. One animal needs another animal, and these animals also need plant life, and they all need water as well. And it all works together in a system as God created it, and as only he could have created it. It's a marvelous thing to behold the works of God. A marvelous thing to come and understand more and more of how God created this earth. And the things that he has done as he spoke these things into place. And then he said, and it is good. God has done all these things. And we marvel at it. And we say, O Lord my God, thou art very great. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Again, more interesting things that we could know about what God has done, and then as we know them, we marvel even more and more. We're familiar that the earth is rotating on an axis, and that axis is tilted toward the sun, and then it rotates around the sun, revolves around the sun. If the axis wasn't tilted just as it is, some parts of the earth would freeze, and some parts of the earth would get too hot. It's all designed perfectly as God designed it. And so the sun knows when to go down, and the moon knows her seasons. It's come to recently to be found out that the galaxies are not only rotating, but as they're rotating, they're gyrating as well. This is the power of the Lord, that he gyrates galaxies and he evaporates water molecules. This is the great God we serve. We marvel at his works. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the field, forest do creep forth. It said that 70% of animals are nocturnal. And so all these animals are coming to life, and they're going about their activity during the night, during the darkness. And the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The lions know where their meat comes from, where their food comes from. It comes from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and they lay them down in their dens. The animals know what to do when the sun's coming up. They know that it's time to lay down in their dens. And then man goeth forth unto his work, and he labors until the evening. And so man becomes active during the day and does what he needs to do, and as God designed it, that every man should work, that they may have to eat, and then also that they might have to give to unto others as well. So we behold all these things, and we see all these things in the work of God's hand, and we have to marvel, and we have to say, O Lord my God, how great thou art. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. This is the God with whom we have to do. We have to exalt and laud his name. Then beyond this, of what he does with creation, this is who he is as well toward us as mankind. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. This is the God that spoke the worlds into place, that gyrates galaxies. He is gracious. He is full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. He is good to all, and his tender mercies over all of his works. All thy works shall praise thee. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and riseth up those that be bowed down. Again, this God who does great, great things, he cares about those that fall, and he upholds them, and those that are bowed down. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in all of his works. This is the God with whom we have to do. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. This is the God that we serve. This is who we laud, and this is who we adore. This is who we magnify. This is who our meditations of him are. This is why our meditations of him are sweet. The Lord preserveth all them that love him. We have to love the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength because of who he is. It's natural, and it comes from us as his creation to worship our Creator, to glorify him. And then he upholds us, and he loves us, and he preserves us. And so in the middle of this psalm now, here in verse number 24, the psalmist breaks out in exultation to the Lord and says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works, with an exclamation mark. As we considering all these things that happen in the whole system, not just one thing of itself, which is grand in of itself, but then how that is working in the whole system which God has created, he breaks forth and he says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. Manifold meaning how many and how varied it is. The fish that he creates are so extremely different than the birds that he creates. Likewise in plant life too, they're so varied and they are so many. And just as the Apostle Paul references, and he says, the sun glories has a different glory than that of the moon and than that of the stars. And even stars of themselves, they differ in glory one from the other. And that's who God is. He does these things in verity, in very unique ways. And so there's this exaltation to the Lord. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. In wisdom thou hast made them all. This psalmist recognized there was no big bang. There was no evolution. In wisdom, God has made them all. God has made them all. And the earth is full of his riches. It is good for us often to observe, to sit quietly and observe God's creation. Sometimes we call it nature, but it is good for us to just observe God's riches and his manifold creation and marvel at the work of his hands and glorify him. Then in the next few verses, he speaks of the sea and of the oceans. And he says, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. And if I understand that correctly, the Leviathan is a large, very large whale. In some translations, it's a sea monster. But these all wait upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. The small fish, the large fish, the whales, they all wait for their meat from God. And God gives it to them in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, and they are filled with good. This is the God that we serve. The earth rejoices in what God has done. All creation glorifies him, and they know that everything comes from him. Psalm 145:16 says, thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. God opens his hand and gives what every living creature has need of. Only a good God as such that we serve can do these things. Truly, he's clothed with majesty. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, and they die and return to the dust. Without God, there is no life. Without God, there's just darkness. Without God, there's nothing. When God takes away, there's nothing. Then sendest forth thy spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. So though a trillion tons of water is evaporated by the sun every day, God renews it, renews the face of the earth each and every day. This is the working of our gracious and great God that we serve. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The psalmist is now coming to a summation of it all. He says, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. It endured back then. It endured during the flood. It endured through all ages, throughout all generations, and it will continue to endure as long as he gives, as long as we have breath and life on this earth, as long as man has breath and life on this earth. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. If the Lord is rejoicing in his works, ought we not to rejoice in his works? Aren't we not to speak with exultation of the Lord and who he is? If he rejoices in his own works, we are to rejoice in his works. You know, to behold his creation and to know the marvelous things that he has done and to say, meh, big deal. To do something like that is blasphemous. It's taking away the glory of God. It's saying that well, you might rejoice in your works, but I don't. We are to glorify the Lord for the things that he has done. We are to stand and marvel before him at the works of his hands. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. This is our reaction to what the Lord has done and who he is. We will sing unto the Lord as long as we live. We will sing praise to our God as long as we have our being. Our lips shall exalt him and shall sing forth the praises, his praises. And we know that when we do that, it's still yet not enough to give him the glory that's due unto his name. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. This is where we come to as we have a meditation on the greatness of God. It becomes to be sweet because we view his creation and we marvel at it, and then we know, but God is gracious, but he is good, and he preserves all those that love him as well, in addition to all these great things he has done in regards to creation. And so our meditation of him is sweet, and we will be glad in the Lord. Sometimes life goes good, and sometimes life doesn't go so good, but in the Lord we can always be glad. We can always be glad. And then so he closes this psalm as he began it by saying, "Bless thou the Lord, O my soul." We bless and magnify him. We speak well of him. Our meditation of him is sweet. And that comes from not just a mind and not just a heart, but from our very souls, that we magnify the Lord and we bless him. And so the first verse says, "O Lord my God, thou art very great." And the song says, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the earth displayed. Then sings my soul, O Lord my God, to thee how great thou art." This is what we do with what we have read this evening. Proclaim, "My Lord, how great thou art." May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
We truly can marvel at the Lord's creation, how wonderful, how perfect it is. John mentioned a few facts, and there's many more than that we can recite that we have learned. How perfect the Lord's creation is. Our internal body temperature is perfect to sustain life. The sun's distance from the earth is, again, perfect to sustain life. God's creation is so perfect, and the purpose of it is so that we could have life. And the purpose of our life is to serve him. John mentioned that the purpose, when we marvel at the Lord's creation, when we see his works, the purpose of that is to draw us closer to him, to worship him. The only reason we have been created is to worship our Lord. We all have different tasks, different ways we go about our lives day by day, but our goal, the purpose that we have been created for, is to serve our Lord. And he's giving us these examples in his scripture, and he's letting mankind learn of him, just small tidbits to draw us closer unto him. We can know all the facts in the world, all the scientific facts in the world, but if they don't draw us closer unto him, then they're meaningless. A life well lived is a life that recognizes the Lord's greatness and then bows before him because of his greatness. May that be the story of our lives, that we would learn of him more and more daily, and as a result, draw closer unto him, bow before him, worship him, give him the honor and the glory that he is worthy of. For simply observing nature does us no good if we don't then worship the creator of that nature. Let's go about our lives daily with a purpose to serve him. Not to live a life without meaning. That is a life that many in this world live, a life without meaning, a life without purpose. We have been called to something greater, a life with a purpose of serving our Lord, our Creator. May the Lord give us the strength to do so each and every day. Amen.